Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late, got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay, I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to another Fly edition of Vegas Nonstop. I am your co-host, Jeffrey with a G, in studio with us this morning, super fan Tom White, sports entrepreneur Doug the Verb, and with me as always, running the Goat Rodeo for the last 17 years, the Master of Mayhem, the Wizard of Whoopi, and the Ambassador of Fun, Jonathan J. Scott.
Thank you, Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead. How was your week, sir?
What up, what up, what up?
Yeah, I know. Hot enough for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to feel it now with the humidity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also joining us, like Jeffrey said, Tom White and Doug the Verb.
Hey, I like the long time caller, first time listener.
Yes.
Yeah, first time listener, long time caller. Tom has been spending a lot of our Friday afternoons over at Sapphire.
Well, not alone, Jonathan, in all fairness.
Not alone. No, no. No, it's hot, and it's, oh my God, it's hot. Summer is here. It's arrived, and we've been cooling off at Sapphire Pool every Friday. We're there from 12 to till we're
whenever.
Too hot. Till we're too hot.
Till we're too hot.
I was saying
today I felt like I was in the Roger Rabbit cartoon movie, because every time these girls would walk by, my eyes would go, whoa!
I know, and I would go, boy! and I remind you when you said that my friend Charlie Fleischer was the voice of Roger
Rabbit. There you go.
Great stand-up comic named Charles Fleischer. Charlie Fleischer. Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm waiting for the guest host this week, Bugs Bunny, with you two guys.
We were talking about rabbits a couple of weeks ago, just famous rabbits in the news.
We weren't too happy about that.
We weren't too happy. Would that be a double entendre?
I don't think we were talking about famous rabbits.
I don't know.
We were talking about Georges.
Georges.
Georges, right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get to that. Of course.
We will?
Yeah, George Hamilton.
No,
I will, in my
notes, because I famous Georges for 400, Alex. Vegas, of course, is known for its outrageous pool parties, and Sapphire Pool and Day Club is one of the best. If you're in Vegas, drive over and visit us any Friday or Saturday or Sunday. And it's connected to the world-famous Sapphire Gentlemen's Club with hundreds of the most beautiful women in the world. And a few ugly ones, as we say.
That's not nice. How about aesthetically challenged?
Aesthetically challenged. Here's what's happening this weekend at VegasNonstop.com. We have tickets for sale for Human Nature, Thunder Down Under, Boys to Men, and you can enter our weekly ticket giveaway. That's all at VegasNonstop.com. And you could buy, and we finally got them in, our new T-shirts. From Lala.
Ooh.
Lala's making the new T-shirts for us.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different ones, and Jeffrey finally got his T-shirt. I took it off the chair, but yeah.
No, mine's still on the chair.
And this must be mine. But so we're going to give away tickets every Friday to one of those shows and other shows that we represent and talk about. The WNBA All-Star Weekend has started with Skills Challenge and three-point contest and Snoop Dogg and Iggy Azalea. The Aces star Liz Cambage is the DJ in the Islander Ballroom. The All-Star Game is at 12:30 p.m. Saturday today at Mandalay Bay Event Center. Fan Fest is, however, free. For details, you go to aces.wnba.com/All-Star. A few things going on. Saturday, of course, 8 p.m., Cedric the Entertainer performs at the Joint at the Hard Rock. Cedric the Entertainer stars in the CBS comedy The Neighborhood, working on a documentary, One Funny Dude. Tickets start at $55. Also tonight, Grammy winner Rick Springfield brings his Best in Show tour to the Pearl at the Palms with Tommy Tutone. And you guys want to guess what's that phone number?
867-5309.
That's right. 867-5309. And that's the kind of thing that just sticks
Nick's
in your
like,
head.
What are you guys talking about?
Nick, you could cue that up if you find that one.
I wish I was Jesse's girl.
You really? Well, there's,
what if Jesse's
there's surgeries
girl,
that
what
can
if
make
Jesse's
that
girl
happen.
Was Stacy's mom and her number was 867-5309?
Well done.
867-5309. Herman's Hermit, starring Peter Noon, sings about Mrs.
She'd
Brown's
have it going
lovely
on in
daughter.
Any case, so.
And Tom, you saw that Happy Together tour.
I did. I saw that a couple weeks back.
Everybody under 50 has just hung up.
It was a tremendous amount of fun. The Cow Sills, which no one remembers, they sang their big hit, Flower Girl. Buckinghams were there.
Nick Fortuna and Carl Giammarisi.
Yes.
And the Buckinghams.
Yes, exactly right.
About
Gary Puckett and the Union, or from the Union Gap, was there, and he has seen better days.
I can't imagine what the listeners are thinking. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, Jeffrey doesn't even know what we're talking
These
about.
These were all bands from the 60s.
Well, that's right. Why I said Herman's
well,
Hermits.
That's why yeah. Doug said anyone and, under 50.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and Gary Puckett and then the Turtles.
And then one Turtle.
Yeah, one Turtle was there, and he barely sang at all. Matter of fact, the guy that now is the lead singer for the Turtles was originally the lead singer of the Archies, and their big hit was?
I don't know.
Sugar, sugar. Sugar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bubblegum yep. Rock. That there was Bubblegum Rock.
But it was a fun night. And
sorry,
we did see somebody that was 40 there. We all ridiculed them and threw yeah, stuff at them until they left.
Those young whippersnappers at 40 years old. Wow. Sunday, our friend, Vegas headliner Frankie Shinta is returning to the South Point. Wednesday, Janet Jackson. And even Janet Jackson is an arcane reference now.
No,
you don't think so.
I don't think so.
She's returning to her residency
she
at Park
MGM. She is incredible.
MGM.
She puts on a great show.
Did you see her?
Yeah. Last time she was here at Park. It's Park MGM, right?
Park MGM.
Yeah.
Shows are scheduled through August 17th. Thursday, 8 p.m., enjoy a double bill with singer-songwriter Elvis Costello. And who's he married to?
Diana Krall.
There you go.
We learned that today.
We learned that today. And Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Blondie, as they both melt hearts of glass.
Is Deborah Harry with them?
Deborah Harry is Blondie.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay,
she's
good.
Not dead.
I know she's not dead. I just was surprised.
Yeah, Deborah Harry was really actually matter? One of the first rappers. You know, if you think about it, in that song, Hearts of Glass, she raps in the middle of the song.
She sort of does, yes.
The Man from Mars.
A little
and
bit, yeah.
Something like that.
There you go.
They're at the Palms Hotel Casino. Tickets start at $59.95. August 1st through the 4th, 8 p.m., beloved NFL legend and announcer Terry Bradshaw returns to the Luxor with his production show of comedy, storytelling, and singing. And, Tom, you worked with
I did. I worked TV. With Terry about 20 years ago, as a matter of fact. We did an event down in Spring Hill, Tennessee for the Saturn Car Corporation, and they held an event called Their Homecoming, where they invited everyone that had a Saturn to come back to Spring Hill, Tennessee to see where their car was made.
Tennessee.
And 45,000 people showed up. And
That's
we
amazing.
Turned the whole cornfield in front of the plant into a state fair type of setup. We had a main stage. It headlined Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. And Terry was the MC for the event, so I got to spend the day with him and hang out. Got a football. It was great.
He's got to be a cool dude, just a laid-back guy.
It was so much fun. I can't tell you. He comes. The CEO of Saturn comes in. He looks at me and says, "Is this who I'm supposed to suck up to?" And I looked at him. I said, "I want you sucking like you've never sucked before." And off he went.
Well, so. I knew some people that were in the Terry Bradshaw's production show last time he was here, and they said it was just great. It was great fun.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy.
Great storytelling. I'm looking forward to going to that. 8 p.m., the Gypsy Kings bring their flamenco guitar rock and roll to the Sandbar Poolside Stage at the Red Rock Resort. Tickets start at $44. For you metalhead rockers, this one's for you. Saturday, 6 p.m. at the Amphitheater at Sunset Station, you can see 1980 stars Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, who lives here in Las Vegas.
Grew up on Long Island.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Nice Jewish boy from Long Island.
D. Hodgepodge.
D. Dee
Snider. Poggy Poggy. Yeah. Massapequa.
That was my first concert. Second concert.
Yeah?
At the Orpheum in Boston, 1983.
Have you ever met Dee?
Yeah, a few times.
Good
guy. Cool dude. Very good guy.
Yeah. Dokken and LA Guns with Steve Riley and Kelly Nichols teaming up to take us back to Big Hair and Aquanet. Yeah, that's at the amphitheater. Starts early at 6 p.m. Our friend legendary comic George Wallace appears at the Westgate Hotel and Casino. And has anybody seen the Jerry Seinfeld Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the new one?
I just watched it.
It's
with Eddie Murphy.
With Eddie Murphy.
Great.
And they're talking about back in the days just starting out doing comedy.
No one wanted to follow George.
No one wanted to follow George Wallace. So it was...
That's exactly right.
It was George's birthday the other day, so I sent him a text message, and he said, you know, we were watching the Eddie Murphy... And saying that they didn't want to follow you. And he wrote me back, they still don't want to follow me because I'm spanking the money.
Jerry had a set list from 1976 where he showed he and George on the same list going, I think it was a Catch a Rising Star or one of those famous.
They liked Catch, yeah.
Yeah, one of those famous clubs. And what I love about that particular episode with Eddie is they go inside and say that either, I think it was the comedy club or the improv, and they're like, there's that smell. You'll never forget that smell.
Yes. Beer, stale beer.
And a little bit of urine.
And a touch of piss is what they say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Saturday, 8 p.m., escape artists, belly dancers, and burlesque acts unite for Las Vaudeville at the Bunkhouse. Have you ever been at the Bunkhouse downtown?
Yes, I have.
And that's for only $10. Doug, you ever been to the Bunkhouse?
No, not yet.
Our movie pick of the week is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the new movie directed and produced by Quentin Tarantino, starring Bradley Pitt. He likes to be called Bradley.
And does he really?
Yeah. And wow. And Leo DiCaprio. Wow. He likes to be called DiCaprio.
Yeah, for sure.
And the movie's based on, I don't know if you know, the serial killer Charlie Manson. Did you know that?
Mm.
You know who Charles Manson was?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Just asking because you kids today.
Exactly.
You young whippersnappers today.
I saw my first concert in 1992. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
1982.
Oh, 82. Yeah. Okay, that makes it so much better. Yeah, okay.
I thought we should do a
promotion. I resaw my first concert just the other night at the Happy Together
yes,
tour because mine was the Turtles
but,
in like 1969.
But do you remember it?
I do very well.
What year?
1969.
69. Yeah. Wow. Summer of Love.
Yep.
I was being conceived.
In the Phoenix Metropolitan Auditorium, downtown Phoenix. Yes.
He was conceived in the Phoenix.
In the back of a Chevy.
That's what he's claiming.
No.
Here's our restaurant news of the week, Jeffrey with a G.
What do you got?
11 a.m. at Gemma. J-E-M-A-A, the Nomad Pool Party, provides live instrumentals celebrating the new mixtape potluck cookbook by Roots co-founder Questlove.
Okay, what does that have to do with restaurants?
Well, recipe Questlove.
I heard recipe book, I heard Questlove, and I heard pool.
And there's recipes from Maya Rudolph, Marissa Tomei, and, of course, Jimmy Fallon. It's at the Park MGM with tickets starting at $20 for women and $30 for dudes. Locals are free with valid ID before noon. So for the scoop, go to Gemma, GEMAALV.com. Well, it's a cookbook, that's all.
Cookbook, not restaurant.
2:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Witness the burger battle at Slater's 50-50.
Yep.
You know the place?
I do. Their thing is they make their burgers with 50% beef and 50% bacon.
Listen to this burger.
467 East Silverado Ranch Boulevard. A massive burger eating battle. Five contestants will try to finish a 2.5-pound beef and bacon burger topped with an entire can of Spam. You had me up until the Spam.
I just chirped.
I know. A quart of coleslaw, six slices of pineapple, six slices of cheese, and four fried eggs sandwiched between a whole loaf of King's Hawaiian bread.
That's awful.
$1 craft beers and prizes 9 a.m. to midnight Saturdays and 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday.
Why would anyone want to do
that
to
themselves? At Slater's on Silverado Ranch.
Pick the wrong week to start dieting. That's what I say.
This is the last week for the Triple George 14th anniversary.
The old 96er.
Mm-hmm. Honoring all men named George with a free appetizer. Two guys named George get a whiskey flight and dessert. And three guys named George dining together get a 96-ounce porterhouse steak and house wine for the table. Triple George is located at downtown Grand Hotel on 3rd Street. Reservations are recommended by George.
You know what? They denied a reservation for a guy that would make that contest.
George Foreman.
How do you know?
George Foreman.
They did
with
not.
All of his children.
All of his
You're
kids.
Making that up.
Sons.
Are named.
And don't forget his daughter, Georgetta.
Georgetta.
Visit our website at vegasnonstop.com. Check out the new t-shirts. And again, we've got tickets available for Human Nature, Thunder Down Under, Boys to Men, and enter our weekly ticket giveaway. Watch Vegas Nonstop on our new Roku channel, Primetime, and listen to us on iHeartRadio, iTunes Radio, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, and of course, back on our website. I think we're going to take our first commercial break and come back with more on Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Stay right here. Out with Vegas Nonstop. Back at you here on 920 The Game. Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about this WNBA All-Star Weekend.
Huge weekend here.
The Aces, I guess, are in first place.
Aces are in first place. They have the best record in the WNBA at the break. Last night was the skills contest at the arena, and I'm not familiar with the outcome, but I understand it was a packed audience. And then later on today, the girls will play East Coast versus West Coast in what will be the first WNBA All-Star game here in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. And I know it's a packed house later today.
Tough ticket, actually.
It really is. I'm blown away. Yeah. I have some friends at work inside of MGM. I couldn't get a ticket. It's that popular. John, you okay over there, buddy?
We had talked a few weeks ago about salaries. I'm trying to make the chair a little higher.
You don't even need a chair.
Yeah, we're talking about salaries and how they compare, and attendance-wise, how it compares also. And it really blew me away that it's been sold out and that there's that much of an audience for the WNBA.
Well, again, remember, it's the first one in Vegas in the inaugural year of the Aces, and so there is a lot of hype around it. Certainly MGM and their affiliates and partners in the team and in the stadium are going to, you know, put a full court press on getting as many people, corporate sponsors, people like that, in the house for the game. And you know what? It's summertime. A lot of kids are off from school. And parents are able to get in there and take their kids.
10,000 seats.
And 10,000 seats. Right. Correct.
Which is
reasonable enough.
But very good. I mean, they spent a good amount of money to redo the event center.
Correct.
And it really does look good, and they're playing really
well.
Really
I was just
well.
Going to say the team has improved so much over last year. Oh, yeah. They did not play very well at all, and they've come out now and leading at the break. I think is right. A tremendous thing for the city and for the team.
No, it's great. So yeah, they'll fill up. They'll for sure fill it up. They could just fill it up with NBA and WNBA sponsors.
Well, and remember now the NBA is affiliated with this league, and it's only going to give them a precursor, a look into what it would be like when, not if, but when, we get an NBA team here in Las Vegas.
Right.
So talk again, educate us, if you will, about how many teams there are. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe there's a team just like NBA, and it kind of mirrors it from every city in the country, but it's not.
Not really. It's much smaller only because the appeal, at least in the beginning. How long has the WNBA been around, Doug?
I think this might be... This is an anniversary, 20 or 25 years.
I wasn't sure if it was 20.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have six teams in the Eastern Conference. That would be Connecticut, Washington, Chicago, New York, Indiana, and Atlanta. Connecticut is number one in the Eastern Conference at 13-6. And in the West Coast, Western Conference, you have Las Vegas, L.A., Seattle, Phoenix, Minnesota, and Dallas. And Las Vegas is number one in the Eastern Conference with the same record as Connecticut at 13-6.
So, I mean, is it just for the trophy at the end? I mean, how much are they paying here? Nick's helping us out here, Jeffrey.
No, how much do they pay what?
The players. What do you think the average?
I don't know what the average salaries are, but as you and I discussed earlier today, it is literally fractional compared to the NBA with the salaries. When you and I spoke earlier today, the average NBA salary for 2019 in the NBA, $7.1 million. And that's really because of these Supermax deals that have been getting signed over the last 3 years. You know, when you have a James Harden and a Russell Westbrook and a Steph Curry that are making $40, $45 million a year, I mean, it just inflates the average for the league exponentially. So it's really hard to compare.
Well, I think the minimum is over $1 million now.
For NBA?
It very well may be.
But to your point, to your question, John, it's all about money. It's not about equality.
Always.
It's about money because they don't bring in broadcast, sponsorship, the team, revenue, tickets, marketing. They just don't, the women just don't bring it in like the men do. The number of games they're playing, the number of playoff games, the year round. Now the NBA is 12 months a year. So the women just don't do it. So it's a tough point. And in fact, most of them, I think it's about 85% of them, go
end up playing overseas because that's where they make their money, in China.
Right.
Yeah.
China or Russia.
We saw Diana Taurasi do it from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Top three player in the league. And, I think Brittany Griner may have spent a year there or is thinking about going there next year.
Oh, they
Deladon.
85% of them do it.
It's the only way they can make money, and they have to do it earlier in their career while they're still healthy.
So women from a capitalist country have to go to a socialist
Communist.
Chinese or Russia
to make money.
To make more money than
they
they're making
in
here.
Capital of the United States.
We were talking earlier also, what do you think the average NFL salary would be, Tom?
We just said it.
No,
NFL.
Well, the league minimum is just about $500,000.
Yeah, $465,000 for a rookie.
For rookies, players. Veteran players is just about $1 million. But there's 20 guys in the NFL that are making mega contracts. I think there were 12 mega contracts in free agency this year. So it's not what you think it is. I mean, I would
say. And it certainly doesn't compare to the NBA.
No, no. I would say think that it's in the $2 to $3 million range.
It doesn't even
average.
Compare to baseball in a lot of ways.
No, no.
The highest paid player in the NFL is Aaron Donald.
Yes.
$22 million.
Yep.
That's the peak.
Well,
that's
actually,
the ceiling.
There's now been a couple of quarterbacks signed. Carson Wentz just signed, and he's making 35, I think.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It may be backloaded, or you're looking at signing bonuses up front.
Well, that's
money.
The average. The average is 35.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know Brady, people think Brady's the highest paid player. He is often not even in the top 10 for highest paid quarterbacks.
He's never put himself in that position.
Because he always gives up his salary for the team to go get more players.
How's that working out for him?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, okay, good.
He's on hand number two for rings.
Right.
And pushing 42.
Yeah.
And he's doing okay.
I know Roethlisberger just got a deal for $34 million
he ain't giving up a penny.
For 2 years.
He ain't giving up a penny.
And that's the deal that everyone's looking at when it comes to Brady, Breeze, and Rivers, who are all coming up this year. They're all figuring they're going to be in the $30 million range for
Sounds
2 years.
Sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, could be.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yep. I don't see Brady getting it because that's just not how the Patriots typically structure their payroll.
You know, but at the same time, the salary cap goes up significantly every year.
How much? 10%?
Maybe even more. So you're looking the first year, 94, the salary cap was like $70 million. It's 190 now.
So it's gone up $120 million in 25 years.
Yes, and the roster size hasn't changed. So
53 players, correct.
Yeah, so you're looking, we're not far from having a $5 million long snapper. Just because you
he
have
never
to spend
misses.
That money.
Because he never misses.
And he never gets touched either.
No, of course not.
You can't hit him.
So,
can't
you know, when you start talking about, it's really a percentage thing. The quarterback should be between 12 and 14% of your salary cap. So that puts you right in that.
Speaking of your team right now, Gordon is sitting out of camp right now. He's holding out. A lot of people are thinking he's not going to get the kind of money that the Rams running back just got.
And
Tom's team, by the way, is the Chargers.
You're talking about Todd Gurley, and then you're also talking about Le'Veon Bell.
No, well, not just Bell. I said your guy Gordon is sitting out now.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't think he's going to get a contract like a Le'Veon Bell or a Todd Gurley.
And from what I understand, the Chargers did make a contract offer between $10 and $11
million
a year.
And he said no.
And he said no.
He's an idiot.
Absolutely.
Idiot.
Absolutely. He's now in a position where come August 6th, if he hasn't reported his contract, because he's under contract. Le'Veon Bell was not under contract.
Correct.
And when he sat out, it didn't cost
penalty.
Him anything other
and
than
he got healthier.
The money that he lost.
Correct.
Okay. Gordon, if he doesn't come in by August 6th.
He starts getting fined.
Well, no, he'll get fined as of yesterday.
Right.
But on August 6th, his contract will troll, which means that it rolls over to the next year. So instead of being a free agent next year, he'll be a restricted free agent, which is just like not being a free agent
just
at
like
all.
Just like where he is right now.
Exactly.
Instead of taking $10-11 million
so he has
to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback in L.A. now.
Right.
And have a real chance to win the AFC.
Yeah. So I heard it referred to as a soft game of chicken. And it kind of is what it is because the Chargers hold all the leverage.
Yeah, of course.
And if he doesn't come in, he doesn't come in. It costs him $40,000 a day.
Now, I know he's taken a beating because he's had a lot of touches in his first 2 years in the league. He's only 23, though, correct?
No. He's 26.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, this is his fourth, coming into his fifth season.
This will be his fifth.
Yes, all right.
So in the
this
first four
year.
Seasons, I believe he's had over 200 touches.
Well, yes and
either
no.
Catching or running.
He's another one of these guys. He missed most of his second year.
Due to injury.
He missed four games last year. He's only played 16 games once in the 4 years.
Out of 4 years.
Yes.
And
okay.
He's turning down $10, $11 million.
Yes. And you just kind of, I haven't lost a minute of sleep over this because I'm just sitting back saying there's only one way this is going to work out unless he is an absolute total idiot.
And I'd love to know who's advising him.
You know, and yes, I've listened to both of these guys that are his agents. I've heard them both interviewed and they're off
About
base.
As sharp as a marble.
They're off base.
Ezekiel Elliott
is also
the best running back in the league.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, close.
How about Saquon Barkley?
It's 1 year.
It's a fair statement.
Okay.
I mean,
he's one of the best.
We don't know what Le'Veon's going to be like after sitting out for a year.
But he's sitting out.
He did not show up to camp, correct?
He didn't show up to camp. Jerry Jones says he's not sitting out. He said it's not that.
Yes, so he said it's not a holdout yet.
Not a holdout yet. And everybody knows that Jerry will fold on this in a second, whereas the Chargers might not. It might go into the season for the Chargers, but Jerry has would have
and
to have
the way the Chargers are built and situated right now, we would be a better team with Melvin Gordon. There's no question. But we have played so many games over the last 2 years without
him. You know how to win without him.
It's not the end of the world.
By the way, you have a nice backup running back.
Yes, I love this kid. Yeah. Justin Jackson. I rewatched the last year's Pittsburgh game the other night, and he was a freaking star.
I love that you're watching film in the offseason. I really do.
That's our buddy Tom.
But, by the way, let's go back to Pittsburgh last year. Le'Veon sits out. Would we ever find out who James Conner was otherwise?
Exactly.
I mean, this kid's a stud now.
Yep.
We never would have found out what this kid was all about.
Right.
You know, and I got to tell you, Melvin could find out the very same thing. He'll be without a contract and a job.
We were just talking about Wally Pipp a minute ago.
Right.
You know, so there you go.
That's right.
Jeffrey with a G, you sent me a Walter Payton video today. Why'd you send that to me?
Well, I know you're a huge fan of Sweetness.
Oh, yeah.
And today would have been his 65th birthday.
Oh,
and we're 65.
So he only would have been 65.
Yeah.
What a shame.
I figured you would have liked to seen it.
And oh, yeah, I did. Video, I watched it.
The video is showing him in the offseason running the hills that he used to run, a la Jerry Rice, a la Herschel Walker. I mean, these guys in the offseason worked harder than they did during the season. Unbelievable.
I heard a great interview the other day with Roger Craig.
Oh, okay. The best.
And Roger Craig gave the scoop on this. He goes, I just want to make this clear. The hill was in my yard, and Jerry took it from me.
Yeah.
Okay? So he said, Jerry claims it, but it was my hill.
Whatever.
So there
what
you
I,
go.
What I have recently found out is that Bill Belichick has a hill in practice for these guys now.
Oh, I didn't know
that. For
the
whole Patriots team. And they all dread the hill in August.
And that's they would do probably doing it today.
Absolutely.
Because
he doesn't
care.
These
conditioning tests are all taking place right around now.
And that's why in January and February, they're not gassed.
Yep.
They have their legs. They have stamina. I mean, there's no secret to the success.
I heard an interview on the way in with Anthony Lynn from the Chargers.
And I'm not familiar with him.
Well, he's a head coach
okay. For
the team that almost didn't lose to the Patriots last year.
Anthony Lynn is a Chargers head coach?
Yeah, almost didn't lose. So Jeffrey with a G.
Hold on.
But he was saying, they asked, what have you learned over your first two training camps, and what are you looking at differently? And that he brought up that exact point. He said,
he has to.
When I went back, I looked at December, and we weren't quite as sharp, and we weren't quite as ready. And that's what we're going to improve on this year.
Jeffrey with the G Line 1, go ahead. First preseason game is this Thursday?
Yes, sir.
And who's playing? Cleveland?
Hall of Fame game.
The Denver Broncos and Atlanta Falcons.
Correct.
In the first a Hall of Fame snooze fest of the season.
Oh, don't say
come
that.
On.
No, come on. They've been in camp for 2 weeks. It's great publicity for the Hall. They moved it to Thursday night because a couple years ago they played it on Sunday after the ceremony. But they set up the ceremony on the field.
Yeah.
So all the trucks and everything, the chairs.
They couldn't get it out.
They couldn't play the game.
No.
The field was so chewed
up. At least they've learned from their mistakes.
Yes.
Well, I'm just happy that we're having football back.
Oh, me too. Like I said, I love the smell of pigskin in the morning.
To me, there's only two seasons, football and no football. Anyway, you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Jonathan Scott, we're going to take another short commercial break and come right back at you. Stay where you are.
To do to save his life, call his wife in. Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning.
Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop, listening to you at coming to you, not listening to you at 9:20.
They're listening to us.
I know. I've got to wake up. I need more coffee.
Some more coffee over here, please,
coffee.
For Mr. Scott.
More coffee. Again, we've got the new T-shirts available, and we've got tickets available for Human Nature, Thunder Down Under, Boys to Men. Enter our weekly ticket giveaway at VegasNonstop.com. Listen to our new Roku channel, Primetime, and thanks for tuning in. Like us and share us on all the social media. Hashtag Vegas Nonstop. Jeffrey with a G Line 1, go ahead. It's a big weekend for you because you've got your Boston Red Sox playing the New York Yankees, don't you?
Well, it's always a big weekend when the Yankees and the Red Sox get together. It's the first series. It's the latest time in the year that the Red Sox are hosting the Yankees in the season since 1951.
Wow.
We're almost at the end of July. This is the first series that we're playing in Boston. The first two in New York, we had that two-gamer in London. But more importantly, it's the stretch over the next 2 weeks that should determine the Red Sox season, because they're going to play 14 games against Tampa Bay and the New York Yankees. They'll play two series each with each team, home and away. And that will set up going into mid-August, late August. Obviously, the division, which I think the Yankees already have wrapped up, but more importantly, where the Red Sox are in the wild card.
They could make a significant run in that stretch.
They could.
Can you talk about that big scoring game, the largest scoring game the other day?
Yesterday.
Two nights ago, the Red Sox put up the most runs ever that they've ever put up against the Yankees when they won 19-3. These teams have played in history over 100 years and over 2,300 games. And it was the most runs they've ever scored against the
Yankees. I would be willing to bet that if you tallied the hits from London and the hits from the other night, that's probably the most number of hits they've had in a three-game span.
How about runs? In the last three games with London, it's 72 runs in three games. They scored 50 in London in the two games and 22 the other night.
And is there an explanation for that?
Well, I think in London, it was definitely the dimensions of the field. They were playing on a short porch. Last night, it was interesting because the Yankees were coming off a very pivotal series against Minnesota,
right,
where they really took it to the Twins. And I think they really had their sights on Minnesota more so than Boston. And coming into Boston, they had no Gardner. They had no Sanchez. They had no Chapman because they used him quite a bit in the Minnesota series. And I think the Red Sox were just really fired up. I mean, it didn't stop. It was 7-0 after one. And after that, you know what it's like that. I mean, it's very hard.
You know, I always find it interesting when I talk in baseball and people are talking about baseball players being fired up. To me, if you're a football player and fired it's a big difference.
Sure.
Basketball, it's a big difference. Hockey, same thing. A baseball player being fired up, he's standing at shortstop just that much more ready to move?
No, but maybe he's being a little more disciplined and played. Maybe I know for sure last night they were swinging at the first pitch. That was their strategy, and they did a lot of damage. I think it was Tanaka the other night, and they did a lot of damage to Tanaka. So when you become a little more disciplined and you get the pitcher behind in counts, you're forcing him now to pitch uncomfortably, and I think that's what they meant. Not fired up. I know what you mean. You can't stand in the box, go, come on, I'm going to hit it. Like, it doesn't work like that. I get it. But as a team, when you get fired up in the locker room like that, you know, and Alex Cora says, hey, boys, let's go out, take him out to the woodshed, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. And what I love about this team right now is they're not getting a lot of their run production from their two offensive stars, Betts and Martinez. It's coming from Devers and Bogarts, their third baseman and their shortstop, who are both up for MVP, although Yelich should run away with it. But once Betts and JD start hitting, and I believe they each hit home runs last night when the Red Sox won, I think this team can really start coming together. And listen, today's the 27th. We're 4 days away from the trade deadline. You know, we could see some arms being moved. You get a little help from the bullpen. The Red Sox just activated Nathan Eovaldi. So he's going to be their closer now. And if you remember him last year in the postseason, he was lights out. So you get some guys back, you get some arms in the rotation in middle and starting, and then you have Eovaldi starting to close out games, which we haven't had all year. They can start making this run.
You know, you talk about fired up. I'm going to cross over a little bit because all I could think of is Mike Singletary on the Bears.
That look?
You talk about fired up. His eyes were darting. He was like,
how'd you like to be a running back? You know the play's coming to you, and there's number 50 like this.
He wanted to eat you. He just looked like he wanted to eat you.
Yeah, but that's what those guys do. A guy like him, a guy like Butkus. I mean, Lawrence Taylor obviously wasn't directly in front of you, but guys like that, they're just going to rip your head off.
Who would be equivalent now?
Oh, J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, he looks hungry.
Jadeveon Clowney, Khalil Mack.
How about the highest paid player in the league?
Who's that?
Khalil Mack. Oh, no, Donald.
Aaron Donald.
Donald. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to run into
him. 99 will definitely tear your limbs off.
Well, I jumped over to football a little because when you said fired up, I've got that vision of Mike Singletary's eyes.
No, but I know what you mean. How many times have we seen Tom Brady go up and down the bench when they're playing like crap, and all of a sudden they come back and it's like boom, boom, boom. Edelman, Gronk, down the field, touchdown, right?
Yeah.
I know what you mean. That doesn't happen in baseball a lot.
No. It's football and basketball, hockey especially, very emotional game. With baseball, I think it's like a quiet storm.
It is.
You know, you're not going to be up there grinding the bat. I think it's more, you said, being relaxed, but also concentration. They have to focus that much harder.
I agree.
And that's not something that you just really get wound up. And there's 160, you know, million games to play.
160 million games. It's just 160.
Well, and you remember the Yankees were coming off that epic comeback the other night that people are calling the game of the year.
Yeah.
Where they came back down 8-2 and beat Minnesota 14-12 on a diving catch by Aaron Hicks in left center to save the game.
Right.
And, I mean, so they
And it doesn't matter. The next day is the next just, day.
That's what I tell Yankee fans. It's still only one win in the win column.
Well, meanwhile, they're 10 games ahead. You know who seems to be waking up on my Cubbies is Schwarber. Schwarb seems
Why,
to be waking up.
Why, has he been getting hot?
He hit a few dingers the other day. Yeah, right. He's hitting home runs. So let's take a look at it. In the Eastern Division, the Yankees are ahead not by 10, but by 9.5
okay,
over Tampa Bay.
AL East. AL East.
Yep. And Boston. Oh, but Boston is 10 games behind.
Thank you.
Third place.
Thank you.
Third place.
So Jeffrey, I know you're a little biased, but what do you think?
I just said it. I think the Yankees are going to run away with the division.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the middle. Like, let's be honest now. We've already played 105 games. You have maybe 55, 60 games left. It's going to be very hard to make up 10 games in that amount of time. But I certainly think that the Red Sox can position themselves from a wild card standpoint, because I think Tampa Bay is going to fall back. I think they overexceed in the first half. For me, the team to watch out for are the Cleveland Indians. Terry Francona, one of the best
managers. In the Central Division.
Yeah, one of the best managers in the game. They're playing great baseball right now. They're only 2 games behind in their division.
Yeah, in the division behind Minnesota.
Behind the Twins, correct.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins are now starting to play .500 ball. They're pulling back. And remember, if they get Carrasco back, who's a great arm, and there's another guy on the DL I can't think of right now. Not Kluber. Maybe Kluber, Bauer. I don't know. They have so many great starting arms. You get those guys going, that starting rotation can crush in the postseason.
So that's close in the Central Division.
Yeah, and obviously
the White Sox are 16 games behind. Doug, what do you think?
Behind what?
The eight ball?
Behind the Twins.
No, listen, the White Sox aren't going anywhere. They're done. But and Houston's running away in the West against Oakland. I think they have an 8 or 9.
I did hear the other day that Kansas City is a full-on fire sale right now.
You know what? They have a couple of young players in that on that team that could really plug some holes for some contenders. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm dying to see what happens over the next 4 days because it's going to be very exciting.
American League Western Division, yeah, you've got Houston ahead over Oakland by 8 games.
True, but Oakland is that other team in the wild card that's going to vie with Boston. Right now, you have Cleveland, Oakland, Tampa Bay, and Red Sox all within, I don't know, 3 games of each other. And that's really how and only 2 of them are going to make it. I think it's going to be Cleveland and Boston, which will make for a great postseason.
In the National League Eastern Division.
I have something there, John.
Go ahead.
Little numerology. So the Phillies, look up the Phillies. What's the record?
5.5 games behind Atlanta.
What's their record?
The record?
Wins and losses.
We have 54 wins and 48 losses.
The exact same record that the Phillies had in 1980.
And 2009. And 2008.
In 2008. And they won the World Series both years.
Oh.
So I don't even know why you're playing the rest of the season.
That's a good point.
You know,
we should just give them.
So
the
that's our
now.
Pick for the World Series here. If I were you, I'd run right down and
right.
Play.
So
put your
I
money
have a
down.
Question for you, Doug.
Uh huh. Where were they in 1964?
No. As a Phillies fan,
listening to the cow sills.
As a Phillies fan,
yeah.
How do you feel about Bryce Harper's inaugural year there?
I think he's going to have a strong second half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been driving in runs. He's been getting on base. He finally took a game off.
And he needs to because he's one of those guys that just lays it out all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He's always psyched up and ready to play.
He is one of those guys that's always fired up.
He is the
up.
Mike Singletary of the Philadelphia Phillies.
And how do the Nationals look?
They're actually playing very, very well right now. The Phillies are trying to have to jump over them to get to the Braves. Their series is starting tonight, or last night, I should say. But the Nationals, I think, have the best record in the in the last 10,
55
10, 20
wins,
games.
47 losses.
I don't know about that.
Well,
maybe.
I think they're the hottest team.
The Giants are the hottest team right now, if you really want to know.
Yeah, well, they're right up there with the White Sox.
52 wins, 52.
Don't say that. They're at .500 right now, the White Sox on, and now they're discussing whether or not they're going to trade Bumgarner.
Right.
Because you're sort of on the cusp of sort of being in it, but you're not really. Yeah. And he's going to free up a ton of money for you.
Right. And what can he pitch? Can you, one game? I mean, so he wins one game. They'll make the wild card of what you're hoping for, right?
Correct. That's the
only hope. So then he'll pitch one game, and then he can't come back and pitch.
Well, we saw what he did in the postseason in 2016.
The best ever.
Yeah, he was sick.
Oh, I know.
Right now, yeah, see, they're 3.5 games out of the wild card.
How far up are the Dodgers?
Oh, my God. Ridiculous.
They're like 14 games in front, aren't they?
Are they?
How about 15?
15?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not catching. No one's catching the Dodgers, but so your division leaders in the National League are the Dodgers, the Braves, the Cubs, and the Cards. And then you've got the Nationals, Cubs. Oh, I see. The Cards are tied. I got you.
Because the Central Division kind of looks the closest, doesn't it?
They have the same record as the Cubbies.
Cubbies are 55 and 47, so are St. Louis.
Yeah, you notice we're not talking about Milwaukee anymore. Now it's the Cards and the Cubs in the Central.
Yeah, Cards and
Cubs. And that's the rivalry forever, Cubs and Cardinals.
And the Cardinals coming in today have won 6 in a row, and they're 9-1, their last 10. They're the hottest team in the National League right now.
And they're tied, 55 wins, 47
correct,
losses.
Correct, correct.
The Cardinals are just their class.
They're like the National League version of the Oakland A's to me. Oakland A's always find a way to contend with a minimal payroll, not the huge budget, not that big market.
I would put them level ahead of the A's. The A's
National League, Western Division, Dodgers pretty much.
Years when they sell off people. Mm-hmm. Cardinals are always
true, but they don't have that kind of money and big city appeal. Like St. Louis is a huge baseball town.
Oh. Absolutely.
I mean, here's Oakland. They're 12 games over 500 this year.
Yeah, I heard that Oakland is moving to Las Vegas.
That is the rumor. We already have their AAA team in Summerlin.
Yeah,
right. And the Oakland.
And we got their XFL team here coming in.
Raider Nation.
Pretty soon.
Yeah, so. Oakland's gonna like start a war against Vegas if that happens.
Raider Nation, baby, Raider Nation. Western Division in the National League looks like a runaway, huh?
Oh, the Dodgers are definitely the best.
14 and a half.
What's the Dodgers' record right now compared to the Yankees?
The Dodgers 67 are 30 wins. Games over 500.
And what about the Yankees?
Right around the same.
Yeah, 60. Well, the Yankees are 66 wins. And,
30 games over 500.
Yeah.
The Dodgers will really struggle to find a new creative way to fold deep in the playoffs. I mean, they're that good.
Where's Tommy Lasorda?
Exactly.
Well, it's funny you bring up Lasorda because that's where Dave Roberts comes into play. How poorly he managed in the postseason last year. You know, the joke was really, I think Dave Roberts bet on the Red Sox.
So. We've got Tom White, Doug Verb, and my co-host Jeffrey with a G. Line one, go ahead in the studio. We're going to take another quick, short commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Stay where you are. Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game.
Hey, I'm caught in a private moment. I'm in Leslie Hope's basement in eighth grade.
Oh my God.
Playing Spin the Bottle.
Right.
That's where it took me right back.
And everyone else went back to bed.
Right. And for you, it was no hope.
You know, there's still time if you get up early to go on over to the Mandalay Bay Event Center, and you can go to FanFest for free for the WNBA All-Star Weekend.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
The FanFests are great. That's a fun time, all those FanFests. Every single one of them I've ever been to has been great.
You know, we just had the NBA Summer League, and that was a great time. We had about 140,000 fans show up for that. And I love that it's a lot more interactive every year.
Yeah.
There's more stuff for the kids to do. There's people that bring their kids to Vegas, they always ask, what should we do with our kids when we come to Vegas?
Leave them home.
Leave them home? Is that what you said?
Keep them off the pole.
Doug, you wanted to talk about pickleball, I believe.
Oh, you heard that. Oh, it's a real
dilly. It's like racquetball, right?
It's a cross between tennis and wiffle ball. Do people know what wiffle balls are?
All I know is it's very popular, and Gino was explaining to me that they're building a pickleball court up at the Summit Club.
What does the court look
and
like?
And I don't
it
even know
like
what it looks
court?
Like.
Half of a tennis court with a very small net.
And then you play it with a paddle ball?
With, yes.
A paddle racket?
With a paddle racket, and it's like kind of like a wiffle ball.
Where's the wiffle ball part?
Well, that's the ball.
There's one at the Plaza.
So it's like wiffle, badminton, and tennis.
Okay, whatever that second was that you tried to say. Was that
badminton?
Badminton.
What did you say?
Badminton.
Badminton.
Well, he's from Canada.
Oh, it's
I just put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
The syllable. What do you want to talk about, pickleball? It's catching on. People love it.
Is it controversy or controversy?
Controversy.
Oh, exactly.
With pickleball,
yeah,
it's both.
Do you watch it? Can you bet on
Have
it?
Have you played?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like you're an avid pickleball player.
Oh, twice.
Really?
He plays
and where
pickle.
Do you find these pickup pickleball games?
Well, I actually played
like that, right?
At Siena.
Pickleball games?
That's easy for you to say. At Siena. I played at Siena.
Huh.
And, yeah, it's a very interesting. Also, at the senior center.
That
I could
see.
Flamingo and Decatur.
I could see that.
There's
now, do
a
they play
room.
With walkers and wheelchairs?
No.
That's
hands
the
and
slow-mo.
Knees.
Yeah?
That's
hands
the
and knees.
A lot of cortisone shots.
Maybe afterwards.
You know, old age is going to bite you in the ass.
You're not kidding.
I'm fine with that.
I'm still confused, though. The ball is a wiffle ball?
Kind of like a wiffle ball.
But bigger.
Not really bigger. Same size, but doesn't have as many wiffles in it.
Is it more like a rubber ball? Does it bounce?
No. It's plastic.
And it's got
plastic
holes in it,
ball.
So it's like a wiffle ball. So this is a really slow-moving game. Okay.
Hence the senior center.
Yes, that makes a lot more sense.
I don't know that it's
so
slow.
Is it like a big ping pong table?
Two players on a side.
Okay.
I haven't figured out.
There's a court with lines?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
There are.
Many of you listeners or viewers know about pickleball. Can you let us know how to play pickleball?
Nah, it's a real dilly.
It's a dill of a pickle.
God, really?
A dill pickle.
Really, Doug?
I don't know. Jeffrey, you got some predictions for us over the weekend?
I do. I'm gonna go with my Boston Red Sox, not today, but tomorrow night.
Sunday night.
Which is the ESPN Sunday night game of the week, where Chris Sale will be going against Herman for the Yankees, who's 12-2.
Wow.
Chris Sale's 5-9 with a 4 ERA. I think he puts it together in this one. He fans at least double-digit Yankees and the
What's
Red Sox.
What's the number on it?
It hasn't come out yet. But ooh. I would imagine the Red Sox are going to be favored probably minus 120, I would think, with Sale at home.
Okay, so that's just the thing. Are you going to do a parlay, or that's just the one pick?
Well, I was also going to give them another play for later today, because I also see that your Phillies are at home against the Braves in a very big series. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't like the way the Phillies are playing today. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves later today over the Phillies and Zach Eflin.
You don't like the way the Phillies have been playing?
No.
They actually have been on their hottest streak.
Yeah.
So Braves and Bo Sox.
Take the Cubbies over Milwaukee later today with Lester on the mound. Milwaukee's on the way down, Cubbies on the way up, and I always love Lester late in the season.
Milwaukee, where you can smell the fresh dairy air. Front row! Front row! Is Euchre still calling games?
Of course.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
He died half a year ago, but he's still.
But he's calling
no one
games
told him.
Right. From the grave.
Just a bit outside.
He sits on the top row.
I want to thank Tom White, Doug, row. The Verb, Jeffrey with a G Line 1.
Entrepreneur.
Like us and share us, entrepreneur, spell it. Like us and share us, visit us at Vegas Nonstop, and enter the contest for free show tickets and buy a t-shirt. And if you see us out, please say hello. Have a great weekend, everybody. Eat well and party hard, my friends. Jonathan Scott saying be nice to each other.